Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Coming to you from the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We seek to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safe, healthy, and just society. Over the last decade, half the states where 16 or 17-year-olds were under adult court jurisdiction raised the age so the justice system involved young people are served by the juvenile justice system, cutting the number of youth in the adult system by about half. In their new report, Raising the Age, Shifting to a Safer and More Effective Juvenile Justice System, the Justice Policy Institute shows how states implemented Raise the Age laws without overwhelming juvenile justice systems, kept correctional costs in check, and enhanced community safety. Raising the Age shows how state and local youth justice systems managed the change by shifting to more effective approaches that include increased use of diversion, reduced reliance on pretrial detention, and targeted efforts to make probation and aftercare approaches more effective. Raising the Age shows, by keeping more youth at home or in their home communities, juvenile justice systems can reallocate resources to serve youth in a more cost-effective way. On this edition of Prison Pipeline, we'll be discussing Raising the Age with one of the authors of that report, Justice Policy Institute Research and Policy Associate Jeremy Kittredge. Jeremy, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a good time to talk about this type of topic.
Indeed. First, could you tell our listeners about the Justice Policy Institute?
Yeah, so we are a Washington-based organization that really looks towards the mission of ending the over-reliance on incarceration through effective policies that not only keep people safer, but keep community safer and create an overall better system.
Of course, today we're discussing your new report, Raising the Age, Shifting to a Safer and More Effective Juvenile Justice System. You know, I mean, every reasonable person understands the idea of separate juvenile and adult criminal justice systems. Most reasonable people understand and support the idea of not putting kids into adult prisons. And yet some states do. I mean, for example, the state I call home, Oregon, when it's an offense listed under Measure 11, certainly, and people sentenced under Measure 11 get extremely harsh mandatory minimum sentences. How did we get here? How did we end up with any states, let alone a good number of them, how did we end up with so many states putting kids through adult court and into adult prisons?
Well, I think it has to go back to some of the rhetoric that came out of the 80s and 90s that discussed harsh sentences for sort of the juvenile predator, and that sort of expanded throughout the country. And that's why we see states like Oregon that have Measure 11 legislation that have mandatory minimums that go not only for adults, but also for kids. And that's why we saw a bunch of states back in 2007 that still sentence 16 and 17-year-olds to the adult system, even though we know research says that if you take care of a kid in the juvenile system, they're less likely to commit crime and move away from that delinquency.
Just a few months ago, I interviewed a young woman for this program, Jessica Tibbetts. The offense she committed was at the age of 14. And she was sentenced to a 30 to life. Managed a second look and got out after serving 15 years, so literally half of her life spent behind bars in the adult system. Anyway, so your new report, it's called Raising the Age. Mm-hmm. Explain what Raising the Age means.
Yeah, so there are states, as we just said, that sentence kids to adult sentences, and that's automatically does not matter the crime they committed. And raising the age is essentially taking that juvenile jurisdictional age of 16 or 17 and moving it up to 18. So kids who commit misdemeanors at 16 are not put through the adult court, can spend one night in an adult community jail or county jail. And little things like that have a huge impact. So the raising the age initiatives that have been going on throughout the states are important to avoid those minor types of penalties for kids.
So now, what states are involved in this debate, and is my current home state of Oregon one of them?
So your current home state of Oregon is not necessarily one that does it automatically. As you mentioned, Measure 11 is pretty harsh transfer policies that bring kids into the adult system. But as of right now, there are six states remaining in our country: Georgia, Missouri, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, and Texas. A quick note, North Carolina is the only one left that sentences 16 and 17-year-olds. But the rest of them still, the crime committed, if you're at the age of 17, you're looking at an adult court and an adult sentence rather than a juvenile one.
One of the things that here in Oregon, of course, we legalized, partially legalized adult use of marijuana, and we define adult as 21. And one of the arguments about not letting 19 and 20-year-olds is because, oh, well, young people, they're still developing, their brains are still developing, we have to take special care of these young people. And they're talking about 19 and 20-year-olds. So how on earth a 16-year-old gets held responsible as an adult for a... Anyway, we're going to talk about your report's findings in a moment. But one in particular jumped out at me, and that's number six, keeping young people safe by complying with the Prison Rape Elimination Act. Now, as a side note, several years ago, I was attending a National Institute of Justice conference in Virginia. I was listening to a panel on PREA, the Prison Rape Elimination Act, and one of the presenters was from the Federal Bureau of Justice Statistics. He started his presentation by saying that he had been blessed with the task of data collection in regard to the Prison Rape Elimination Act, largely due to the efforts of the Justice Policy Institute. That was your shop's doing, at least in part. And that's not a digression. It's a sort of belated congratulations. This is not a digression, but it does lead to a serious question of why raising the age is so important. What happens to kids when they're sentenced to adult prison? What kind of risks do they face?
Yeah, so the Bureau of Justice Statistics has put out some research that says that youth are at the highest risk of sexual assault. So the way that the PREA standards actually work is there is a clause saying separation of sight and sound of adults in the facility. So it doesn't matter what your state legislation says. If a 17-year-old is in an adult prison, they can't be within that sight and sound, depending on regulations of staff being around there. So the issue is states are sort of making these decisions based off of keeping the kids safer because it's very costly. There's a county in Dallas that spends tens of thousands of dollars a week just on simply keeping that standard of sight and sound. So states are making the decision off of a financial basis and also of a safety basis because, as you know, and I'm sure you heard at that conference, kids who find themselves in adult prisons at any age are at risk of sort of being taken advantage of by the older individuals in that facility. And those have sort of negative externalities well beyond the initial involvement if they're there for a few months, a few years, or whatever that may be.
It's horrible. I mean, it's really scary.
Exactly. Very much.
I'll just remind folks, you're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Our guest is from the Justice Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., Jeremy Kittredge. We're discussing the new report JPI has released, Raising the Age, Shifting to a Safer and More Effective Juvenile Justice System. Tell us your major findings.
Yeah, so we wrote this report. It's sort of based on 14 states through the country, seven that have raise the age, and seven at the time that have not. We'll get into it a little bit later, but New York just recently passed it, so now it's six that have not. And there are three major findings that we see that the states that raised the age saw. One, they enhanced their public safety. Two, they kept the kids safe. And the important one, three, they kept their taxpayers' cost in check. So in terms of the public safety, we saw a reduction in juvenile crime through the three states that did it first. That is Connecticut, Illinois, and Massachusetts. In those states, they also saw juvenile confinement drop. So when we are looking at kids being safer, they're being placed outside in the community rather than the deep end of the system. And those three states outperformed the national trends. And then when it comes to cost checks, a lot of concerns in the state legislatures before these types of policies are passed look at it's going to cost too much. The taxpayers are going to feel the burden. It's not going to have the results we want. But in fact, a lot of these states and all these states who did have these concerns, none of them ever materialized.
I mean, because obviously one concern that people would have anytime you're talking about criminal justice reform is resources. People believe that it's cheaper to, well, for, well, bluntly, people think it's cheaper to just throw someone in a hole, lock the door, and leave them there for to rot. I mean, that's people, you know, that the people think that's cheaper, but in the long run, it's really not, is it? So, tell me more about the costs. What your report found as far as resources and reallocation and the actual impact on costs.
Yeah, and just to mention what you just talked about is the lower recidivism rate, which may have led to the lower cost. The research shows, and the research shows in our report, that if you care for these kids in a juvenile system in a developmentally appropriate way, they will move from delinquency and commit less crime or no crime as they move outside of the JJ system. So looking at our three main states of Connecticut, Illinois, and Massachusetts, Connecticut projected $100 million cost to implement their Raise the Age legislation. In fact, none of that $100 million was spent. Their budget has actually stayed level, and $39 million has been reinvested back into the community to assure that the kids who are being processed, the 17-year-olds and 16 and 17-year-olds now, have the resources to look outside of an actual structure and be back at home. Illinois, they raised the age in two phases, the first one being misdemeanors. When that was coming out, there was an analysis saying 35% increase in the number of youth being processed through. What happened was that number was overblown. They were able to save money, and that money saved actually helped them implement the phase two, which was Illinois youth who commit felonies. And lastly, Massachusetts had an analysis that said they need a certain amount of money for the implementation, the appropriation. When the legislation was passed and implemented, that number dropped 37% to $15.6 million. So again, they're overblowing these numbers. They're not taking everything into account. They're not looking at juvenile crime has dropped over the years. Like I said, the recidivism rates of kids cared in these systems aren't committing crime. So we're not having to deal with them down the road, saving the taxpayers' money.
Now, that let's go back to Connecticut for a moment, because that's they projected that doing this would cost $100 million, and they were not merely wrong; they were completely wrong and have actually saved money. How on earth did they come up with $100 million in the first place?
So it's interesting. A lot of these states have put up fiscal notes, including Connecticut. But the biggest issue with fiscal notes is they don't cover everything. They're not looking at the reinvestment in the community, the recidivism rates, the juvenile crime drop. A lot of the times they're just partisan fiscal notes saying that this number is going to come out and it's going to help us not pass this bill or whatever it may be. But there's little backing to them. And then when you start digging into the numbers and realizing there is a possibility of reinvestment, the numbers are dropping, these kids are becoming better, they're getting out and they're giving back to the community, that $100 million vanishes. And we realize that we can really use the money saved from the system and further help them by putting it into community resources.
It may be unfair to ask you to speculate, but why do you think? I mean, is it just a lack of foresight? Is it just a complete proving them wrong is one thing. Why were they so wrongheaded in the first place?
I think if I had to speculate, it's a little bit of a few things. One of them being that it's hard when you're in a legislative power and you sort of a change agent, you don't really look forward to what could happen. You sort of see what is happening. And if you see the juvenile crime isn't really dropping, how are they going to get better results if they're in the community? Because like you were saying before, a lot of people just think if you put them in a cell and lock away the key, they're going to be fine. And that's the public safety issue. So they're not looking at the cost benefit of it. There was actually an analysis that talked about if Connecticut did this, they actually save money, but that wasn't really indicated in the fiscal note because a lot of the legislators, whether it's willful or not, I just don't believe look forward enough to actually truly see that there can be a benefit. Like I've been saying, the research is there. It cut, it kept cost in check. The juvenile crime has dropped and confinement has dropped. But when you're doing this and you're trying to make the reason too, it's hard to really see that, but that's the reason to rely on the research.
Indeed. Well, and one of the other concerns, let's talk about that for a moment, that, you know, the idea that unless kids are punished just like adults and treated harshly, that they'll just continue to offend and then they develop into the fabled super predators. Of course, that doesn't actually happen. So what's been the experience of states that have raised the age?
In our report, we actually talked about these six strategies that states have been using to avoid that very thing, to avoid people becoming super predators. Because if you put a kid in an adult facility, they are more likely to be, one, victimized, and two, commit crime when they come out, and sometimes more serious crime. So the strategies we talked about to reduce this is ramp up diversion, look at probation and aftercare approaches, deal with mental health issues outside of the system in the community, reduce the reliance of detention, and reinvest that money back in the community, which is a huge one because when you're reinvesting the money saved, that gives the results back to you. And the last one is being data-driven. Have system management to know how to care for a kid. If a kid needs mental health, find that out from day one, and that's going to help you avoid the big fear of turning them into something that's the public fear of the super predator. If you abide by these strategies, you're going to get good results. And just a quick note, these aren't strategies that every state needs to do, but every state needs to partake in a few of them and find out what's their best roadmap to raising the age and making a better juvenile system.
Before I go with the question of what states should be doing and how we can push these forward, what is the problem with the states? You mentioned that you looked at 14 states, 7 which have, 7 which haven't, one is now, so there's 6 still who are holdouts. We have all this data, we have all this information. Why are they still holding out? Why haven't these remaining states sorted themselves out?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Things are definitely moving along in a lot of states, and it's because the evidence is there. They're taking that the outcomes as a sort of a truism that you're going to keep taxpayers' costs in check. You're going to reduce overall confinement and keep the kids safer and continue to keep the public safer because the crime rate's dropping. And in these states, such as New York, who just passed it, in North Carolina, you have governors who are actually very outspoken on this is the right thing to do. This is how we continue our public safety. The issue is it's a political issue in a lot of areas. Some policymakers just don't want to make the decision because it may not be a politically savvy move, but they need to continue to take this knowledge of the report and other information that's out there and move towards a better juvenile system. And just to relate it to your listeners in Oregon, the Measure 11, it's the same thing. Your policymakers can really learn from this Raise the Age report that if you are involved in a lot of these strategies that I just went over, which I assume Oregon is, maybe not all, but to an extent, you can make the decision to revert Measure 11, get the kids out of the adult system and care for them in a more appropriate way in the juvenile system, in the community, all of those things.
What do you think has made these legislators care where they have, where it has been, where Raise the Age has been successful. You have any idea what's, I mean, data, if data could convince a legislator to do something, this would be a remarkably different world. Mm-hmm. It's getting them to care that that actually makes them move on policy. And then the data's there so they can say, and look, see, we're right. But it's getting them to care in the first place. In some of these states where it's been successful, has there been any kind of significant moment or a tragedy or what happened? What's been convincing these legislators to actually look at the data and to look at what works?
I don't know if there's been sort of like a story that's triggered these policymakers and these governors to know it's the right decision to do, but I do think it is a research data-driven policy that is tied into the individual stories. So when policymakers are being fired at for this what happens to kids in the adult system, this is what can happen to the kids in the youth system, that's what sort of starts the stone rolling. And then when you get into it's not going to cost what a lot of people think. And the real big push is that Connecticut, Illinois, and Massachusetts did it first, and they did it well. So you had Louisiana, South Carolina, now New York, all these states – push legislation through because of the stories of Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Illinois, tied with the data that our report has put out and other organizations have put out to constantly drive home the fact it's going to cut costs, it's going to keep the community safer, and it's going to make these kids safer, and that's going to help the community along the line.
Would raising the age make things fairer? Will our system, I mean, is our system going to be, equity? What's the impact?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's no mystery that people of color are disproportionately affected by the criminal justice system. There was analysis done in New York City that showed 9 out of 10 young people who were sentenced to prison were young people of color. So Raise the Age, because it's shifting to a community and a developmentally appropriate system, kids are finding themselves less in prison, more in the community. So having the facts that kids of color are impacted, they will be now put in the community and able to sort of progress, making the system overall fairer, giving everyone equal opportunity to not only achieve what's outside of the system, but ability to get past those job barriers and those education barriers more than they would if they found themselves in an adult prison that we have been seeing in these states that have not raised the age yet.
The states which are still holdouts, what are those again?
States that have not yet passed legislation are Georgia, Missouri, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, and Texas. A quick update on what is going on, because the legislative sessions are currently happening. Like I said, New York raised the age. North Carolina hasn't yet put a bill out there, but with the Democratic senator and the legislation behind it, there is a chance that when it is introduced, there's a possibility of it passing. Currently, they're just having other policy debates. This one just hasn't reached the floor yet. And a few days ago, Missouri, their Raise the Age bill passed the House committee. So that's moving forward. It's hard to predict. Like I was saying, this is a political issue. It's hard to predict what fourth is coming, if any other states will. But there's still momentum, and the momentum's been building over the years. And a report like this sort of gives advocates and legislators the tools to give reason to continue the fight and eventually pass the legislation.
What should people here be doing? How can we be – what should we be telling our legislators, and how can we convince them to rethink some of these policies?
So to look at the lessons learned from the Raise the Age states, they have taken the kids in from the adult system and shown better results. All kids can be looked at differently and taken care of in the community outside of confinement in the deep end of the system. A lot of the Measure 11 policies are for more serious offenses, but that doesn't mean that a community can't care for the individual, turn them around, make them a better citizen to effectively make the community safer after. So looking towards the research, looking towards the stories of Connecticut, Illinois, and Massachusetts, and the states to come.
Where can people find out more about all this? Give me your website and also the social media. I know that JPI is on Twitter. Tell me where people can find this to read this for themselves.
Yeah, so I definitely encourage all your listeners to not only look at this report, but all of our reports on justicepolicy.org. We're active in a lot of different criminal justice spheres, raise the age in juveniles. We have adult corrections. All of the above, and to check us out on Twitter at Justice Policy. We're very active on Twitter. We constantly talk about reports that are coming out, what's going on in our neck of the woods, the East Coast, looking at Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. But we are a national organization, and we don't just look at this area. We're looking to reform the criminal justice system from Maine all the way to Oregon and all the policies that take place in their system.
Do you have any closing thoughts for our listener?
Yeah, so Raise the Age initiatives have been going on since 2007 when Connecticut finally pushed that first legislation and implemented it years later. It's constantly growing. States like New York just passed it last week. We have 6 more states to go. So any listeners who are part of those states, be out there, push towards it. It doesn't only make it a safer community. It's safer for the kids. It promotes fairness. And it keeps taxpayers' costs in check, which is important to not only all of citizens, but important to legislators. So pushing these ideas can really make a change for juveniles. And this happens in all places, like Oregon, with Measure 11. Keeping kids out of the adult system not only gives great results, but it's the right thing to do.
That is all the time we have. We've been discussing a new report from the Justice Policy Institute, Raising the Age, Shifting to a Safer and More Effective Juvenile Justice System. Our guest has been JPI's Research and Policy Associate, Jeremy Kittredge. Jeremy, thank you so much for all your time today.
Thank you for having me on this show. Like I said, this is an important issue that doesn't just affect these states. Issues like Measure 11 are across the country, and getting the kids out of the adult system is the right thing to do.
Well, folks, that's it for this week. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline. Find this and previous installments of the show on the web at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Prison Pipeline has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/prisonpipeline. Please give it a like. My thanks to guest Jeremy Kittredge. Many thanks also to the Justice Policy Institute for its report, Raising the Age, and for all the fine work they do. A quick thank you to our engineers. And thank you, dear listener, for joining us. I'm Doug McVeigh. Good night.
Don't you know I have faults like anyone? Sometimes I find myself alone regretting some little foolish thing, some simple thing that I've done. I'm just a soul. I try so hard, so please don't let me be.